Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord.
God be praised for the opportunity to worship together in person and also online. What is worse than drought-like conditions taking place in our state as well as in other parts of the country? What is worse is the spiritual drought that is taking place in the hearts of too many people to count, including among us. We know what a little bit of water can do for our plants and trees, and then increase that amount of water. Wow. The concept or principle is really no different when it comes to the moisture our soul needs and can receive. That's why we're here, right? God keep our hearts from spiritual drought. I invite your attention to our invocation as we continue our worship this morning on page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to God our salvation.
Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us worship.
Oh,
Please stand. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him.
This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Please be seated. We're at the fifth Sunday in our Lenten season, and a reading from Holy Scripture comes to us, first of all, from the prophet Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Instead of living a godly life as we ought, too often we can find ourselves doing the opposite. And so we can only say, God, have mercy. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our psalm today, Psalm 73, I invite you to page 13 of our worship bulletin, as the psalm can be found there. turn back to page 8 for our next reading, a reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 11, pointing out the fact that the gospel is for all people, thankfully. And yet a sad reality is that too many people stray from it or are not connected to it. Thankfully, there is time yet for people to reconnect and get connected. We hear these words. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? I am talking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll take the opportunity to read through those words at a later point, maybe not during the sermon, but they are powerful words. Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 20th chapter, something to think about. Think of how many people have come in contact with Jesus and yet reject him as Savior. Another sad reality our Lord points out. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
For our next hymn, I turn your direction to page 14 of our worship bulletin. Please be seated as we continue now with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance. Thanks to God our Father, and this through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus' name, we focus our meditation this morning on these words from the prophet Isaiah. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. This is God's word, we pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully cared enough to rescue us from ourselves and our lost condition. Definitely looks like we'll be facing another drought-like condition in our state. What are we going to do about it? Double down on our current efforts and ignore what's going on, the reality? Or throw our hands up in despair and go, oh no, the world's coming to an end. And if it is, God be praised. Why do we too often go to one extreme or the other and fail to find that balanced middle road? So as we deal with an ongoing drought, what are going to be your priorities? Are you going to cut back on showers and baths so your lawns and trees get the water? Are you going to cut back on drinking water yourself? Are the animals not going to get water? What are you going to cut back on? What's the priority? In a way, it's not any different when it comes to dealing with our relationship with God and coming up with priorities. Because too often we can come up with a form of godliness, but it's really empty of its power. We can tell God, God, you are a priority to me, and yet we are bowing down and worshiping the gods of this world. And that's really then not worshiping and prioritizing God. So the drought-like conditions that we are enduring once again in our state serve as an excellent reminder during the season of Lent, and not just during Lent, but all year long, of the drought-like conditions that we pray God will help us avoid in our own hearts, and give thanks to the Lord God that He has put the water of life in our hearts, and we pray that He continues to put it in the hearts of others, because there's a greater drought going on than just in our state, the physical drought. Oh, there's a drought in our state, all right. But it's a drought that impacts the whole world. And it has for a long time, and it will until the end of time. And that's what makes the words of the prophet Isaiah so excellent, because they were not just for a time and a place back then, but they are still very much applicable to us today. Because we too, by the grace of God, are God's chosen people, claimed for a purpose. And yet how often do we not act like God's chosen people? How often do we prefer, almost it seems, the drought rather than the wetlands? Thankfully, God has done an intervention with us to do something about that devastating drought in the hearts of people. And his intervention leads to a positive impact on our lives. And he wants that positive impact on the lives of all people. And that positive impact prompts a response. It's one that the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, reminded his chosen people, the children of Israel at that time, that they were to be showing to the Lord, but failed to. That response, which the animals and other parts of creation show to the Lord, is this: honor the Lord. He deserves this from us. That's evidence through the words of prophet Isaiah, how the Lord deserved honor from his chosen children of Israel, because this God of the Scriptures is a God of deliverance, a God who keeps his promises, not just for the children of Israel, but for you and me and all people. But Isaiah reminds the children of Israel, don't forget about this God, the God of deliverance. Remember how he delivered you from captivity in Egypt in such a powerful way that the army, one of the most powerful armies in the world, in world history, how they came after you to try to recapture you, and what happened to them? They drowned, never to rise up again. They were extinguished. It changed Egypt. Who's more powerful, the human element or God? Careful how you answer. God wins every time. Maybe not in our timetable, but he wins every time. He is the God of deliverance. And so, children of Israel, focus on that great deliverance of the Lord God. But don't just get caught on that deliverance, because that deliverance was a sign of something even greater to come. And so don't dwell on the past and only live in the past. Focus on that to build off the future. There was another deliverance in the making, which the prophet Isaiah alluded to and said was going to come. And that was the deliverance, again, from captivity, the Babylonian captivity. How God would use a human government to deliver his people as promised. Following 70 years of captivity, and he would bring that remnant back as promised to that earthly promised land so that God's greater deliverance promise could take place. God is a God of deliverance. That deliverance from Egypt and that deliverance from Babylon, as the Lord points out through Isaiah, while significant, don't stop there, people. Because there's an even greater deliverance I want you to keep your minds and your hearts and your eyes fixed on. And that's the deliverance from the captivity of sin, which impacts all people. So, yes, remember those deliverances, but don't stop there. Remember how they were springboards for an even greater deliverance from our sins. The Lord God had to act on our behalf, because left to ourselves, what would we do? We'd be still spinning in our sins, in helplessness and despair, without hope. If we truly believe that this life is all there is, we are in sad shape. Because what does this world consist of? That we cannot escape. Death. It is all around us. It's hard to even go shopping in a mall nowadays. Are you going to come out alive or not? When you drive through Stockton, are you going to come out hurt or not? And I don't mean that tongue in cheek. This world is full of despair and wickedness and sin. And if that's all we have to focus on, we are sorry people. But God has delivered us. So this is not all there is. It's a reminder of sin in the world, and praise the Lord that this is not all there is. And so, Lord, come on, bring on another great deliverance. The one that was enabled through the sacrifice of your Son. And because He lives, we too shall live. There's an even greater deliverance coming. Thankfully, He acted. Thankfully, He has brought us into a relationship with Him. Again, a relationship that was not earned. I mean, the children of Israel, in a way, they're kind of like us, aren't they? Weren't they? Aren't they? Because, I mean, here God chose them. They didn't deserve it to be His special people, to be the ones through whom the Savior would come. He delivered them from Egypt and Babylon. He provided food and water in the wilderness as they were going from Egypt to the earthly promised land. Their sandals did not wear out. He offered to sacrifice His Son rather than asking them to sacrifice their sons and daughters. And yet, how did Israel too often respond? They, in turn, sacrificed themselves and their animals to the gods that they had made. What a slap in the face. And then they had the audacity to say to God, God, You have burdened us with Your demands. And what does He say? Look in the mirror. I have not burdened you. The Apostle John reminds us of that too in his first epistle. This is love for God to obey His commands. And He gives us the motivation to obey. And His commands are not burdensome. The burden comes in telling a lie and then trying to remember that lie and who you told that lie to. The burden is gossiping about other people with the hope of bringing them down and the goal of bringing you up in the eyes of other people. And if you can't be trusted with stories and the secret things of other people, how can you be entrusted with the sacred things of God? Because your reputation gets out. And then as you try to proclaim the good news of Jesus, the person who knows your gossip reputation is going to go, those two don't mesh. But Lord, I haven't murdered anyone. But have You wished someone dead? Lord, I haven't actually committed adultery with everyone. But have You looked at someone lustfully? Again, are we any better than the children of Israel? Are we any better than anybody on the streets who isn't in a relationship with God currently? No. But praise the Lord again that He has brought us into relationship, that He has humbled us, pointing out our sins and then reminding us, hey, I have a Savior for you who lifts you up, who can give you confidence and hope. And I've lifted you up for a purpose, to tell those who are out in the street about their need for a Savior and who that Savior is. Thankfully, the Lord has delivered us. Thankfully, He has connected us through the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. These are saving means. And that's where the emphasis needs to be, on the means of grace, because again, another mega church is being dragged through the mud because of infidelity. And so churches are taking another hit. Some of it deserved. But unfortunately, God takes a hit too. How important for us then to not get caught up in our gimmicks and skinny jeans, but the means of grace. That's where it's at. And not just saying we are a church that has the means of grace, but a church which lives the means of grace. That's honoring the Lord. How many children have gone through our school and yet have lost their way? and have claimed themselves almost to be atheists or agnostics to my face. I don't believe anymore. I don't know if I ever did. And then we, adults, make excuses for them. There's a spiritual drought taking place. We are not honoring the Lord as we ought. But praise the Lord, there is forgiveness. And there is time to do something about that drought. Worship the Lord says. Worship me, honor me, keep your souls moist, stay connected to that means of grace. You know, on Wednesday, we were reminded in a sense that we are lazy Lutherans, while it's really lazy Christians, because we're Christians first and foremost, who stand in the Lutheran teaching of by grace, by faith, by Scripture alone. That should mean something. God, keep us from becoming lazy, heartless, nonchalant, apathetic, lukewarm. And as we're connected to the means of grace, He does just that. He keeps us from those things and keeps our souls moist. That's one way to honor the Lord, through worship. And then the other way to worship or honor the Lord is through daily activity. Again, another form of worship. Romans 12 reminds us, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your spiritual act of worship. Washing dishes, cleaning up after our children, whatever the task may be, that's an act of worship, because you're doing it for God, not for your own benefit per se, and not necessarily for the benefit of others, but you and they benefit. But God is glorified with your attitude toward your work, toward raising your children, gifts from the Lord, from caring for your spouse, and on. Daily activities, being salt and light in the world. That's what God has called us to be. To set the example, if someone is not kind to you, it's not a reason to be unkind to somebody else. If they cut you off from the road, you don't need to try and cut them off. Your insurance won't like it either. But seriously, right? We are to be the salt and the light. If we're not setting the example, why can we expect the world to get on board and honor the Lord? Because our goal, along with God's goal, is to expand His kingdom. That's why we're here, to grow in our faith and to be encouraged, Lord willing, to go and let the light shine to others and invite them to worship, to Bible study, to events, to connect them to Jesus. And not just here, that's why we give our congregation mission offerings, so we can connect people throughout the world. Came back from meetings, my goodness, the opportunities God is putting before us to go into all the world. Countries that are not necessarily friendly toward Christians, but are giving us an open door to come in. Pray for manpower, pray for resources. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers, they are few in a way, and really not, because look in the mirror. You don't need a title to go and proclaim the gospel. The world has come to us. God has given us the opportunity to be salt and light and expand His kingdom with the gospel. Honor the Lord, dear friends, continually through worship, through your daily activity. And look at the past as a reminder of God's goodness then and His springboard for His goodness today. Don't worship the past, but live in the present. But don't get caught in the present without remembering what's coming ahead. The Apostle Paul in Philippians, right? We're running that race. Keep straining ahead. And as you do, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so, yes, do honor the Lord. He deserves this from us. Honor Him by how you go about your life. So how are you going to deal with another year of drought in front of us. As you ponder that, what are you going to do about an even more important and serious drought before us? While at the same time not falling into one yourselves. The way to do that, continue to honor the Lord. For a day is coming when we will not have to fear any longer the threat of physical or spiritual drought. But until that time, dear friends, keep honoring the Lord. And the way to do so is laid out before us. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now turn to a confession of our faith. It's found for us on page 9. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God,
light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated. We continue to lift up our hearts to the Lord.
Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
And may they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live, who gives us all. Lord, you are the great physician of both the body and the soul. We ask for your ongoing recovery of health for Zoe Malone, Rod Gunter, and Arnold Detmer. As Helen Bishop's time on earth seems to be drawing to a close, we give you thanks for watching over her and helping her confess her faith in you. May such confession of faith serve as a comfort to the family. Be with Mary, Jack Fox's mother, as she too is in hospice. Keep the flame of faith alive in her and grant her a blessed eternity with you through Jesus, while also in the meantime helping Jack carry out what is needed for her care day to day. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and in joy and with confidence,
for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Again, just thank you for not only filling out the Connect card and returning them and adding information as far as address changes or contact information changes and other such things, but also then taking the time to meet one another either inside the church here or in the entryway or outside, just even a word hi, goes a long way. So thank you for being salt and light. Starts here and blossoms out there. New Bible study starting today here in the church proper, looking at Bible passages which serve as the foundation of Handel's Messiah. So handouts are available there in the entryway by the bulletins. Flowers today, beautiful flowers on our own campus. Thanks to our students, some of our students putting those flowers, planting them and growing them, and thanks to our decorator for putting that bouquet together, and beautiful. God is good. Mission Box, LWMS Mission Box, thank you for your support for the last quarter, and now we begin another quarter. So first Sunday of the month is LWMS Mission Box Sunday, just a reminder. If you ever want to learn more about the LWMS, you can go to their website, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, or go to the information board there in the entryway. And we have our final Lenten service, midweek Lenten service, this coming Wednesday. It's hard to believe 6 weeks goes by, to help us focus on the journey with the cross of Jesus. So 6:30 worship time, 5:30 supper. We are starting a food drive today, helping one of the local food pantries. So starting today through next Sunday, you can drop off non-perishable items on the church campus, either in the multi-purpose center lobby or in the church office or library area. Palm Sunday, just a reminder, we were making sure people read the bulletin. Some of you noticed it already. The bulletin for next Sunday has 8 and 10:45. But really, as we're announcing in the weekly news, we have one service for Palm Sunday at 9:15. So 9:15 next Sunday, a joint service combining the 8 and 10:45. Again, we'll be sending out several email blasts throughout the week. And please, if you know of people who haven't been in attending or don't necessarily read the weekly news that carefully, give them a call or take them out for coffee when you do and say, hey, don't forget church this Sunday at 9:15. Like I said, we'll be sending out many notices during the week. Sunday school will start at 9:15, so in a moment or two, and you're welcome to join them as they start their Sunday school in singing many hymns. That goes till 9:30. Holy Week invites are available. I know we ran out last week. There's more there this week, so help yourself. They're by the Welcome Center. Thank you for taking those out and about. We are, bless you, starting our directory picture, updating the app, as notified last week and also in the weekly news. So if you'd like your picture taken today, please see Aaron over there by the Welcome Center and we'll get your picture updated for the app. Egg hunt coming next Saturday. So thank you, volunteers, showing up at 10 as people for the egg hunt who have signed up will be coming around 10:30. And so we'll get everything ready to go. Appreciate that. Pray for good weather. And then campus cleanup, just a reminder, that's on the 16th. There'll be more on that in a moment. Just see the weekly news for other things that are going on. And one final item for today that needs your attention, thank you. Our Board of Stewardship Chairman, Chuck Klinker, has an update for us.
Good morning, everyone. Just a quick update. As reported in the newsletters, our offerings for tuition and our general offerings have been running just a tad ahead of budget. That is great news. We do have one little hiccup that I will talk about in a little bit. But first, I want to focus on time and talents. You will have noticed a continual improvement in the condition of our grounds. Landscaping's cleaned up, old plantings replaced with new, weeds removed, and so forth. Fresh paint in a lot of areas, all thanks to a relatively small group of talented and dedicated volunteers. Now, coming up, as Pastor alluded to, we have the opportunity for more volunteers to help out on Saturday the 16th, that special Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. We'll have a general campus cleanup in preparation for Easter Sunday, lots of light landscaping, weeds to pull, trimming, some painting maybe, etc. So if you can turn out Saturday morning the 16th, you know, that'd be great. So we are encouraged by the pace of our regular offerings and the work of our dedicated volunteers in repair and improvement of our grounds. Now to that hiccup that I mentioned. Our not without purpose offerings have been close to budget month after month after month. You will recall that these offerings pay the mortgage. They also help fund the tuition assistance fund and also provide funding for the campus improvements that you've seen. Now, these offerings, like I said, had been clicking right along, but suddenly in February and March, they dropped to about half of what the pattern had been, about half of budget. If that continues, we'll be dipping into our mortgage reserves and will not be able to fund our tuition assistance and campus improvement funds. So we trust that this is temporary and ask that if you can help boost that fund, if you have fallen behind and are able to catch up, that'd be great. All in all, however, we're in much better financial situation than we were a few years ago, and the facilities are getting needed repairs. The look of the campus is much improved. Thanks to all of you for your good stewardship, given of your time, talents, and treasures. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank you, and have a blessed day.